Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this day is, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, John 10, here again the part that reads, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and there'll be one flock and one shepherd. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like you to go ahead and take out your hymnals and turn to the back page. And as a reminder, what we're going to go ahead and do and speak in the Apostles' Creed and the next Sunday, the Nicene Creed, right? Find there where the Holy Spirit is in the third article of the Creed, of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church. Yes. Now go to the same place in the Nicene Creed. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life. And under there we said we believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church, right? These words reflect Scripture. When Jesus said there will be one flock and one shepherd. Don't need to hold up the second finger, it's all one, right? One flock, the church. Jesus said it, that's what we confess, right? And yet we look around, and what do we see? The East and the Western Church divided. And in the Western Church, Protestant divided against Catholic. And among the Protestants, the Reformed and the Lutherans. And among the Lutherans, the ELCA, the LCMS, the WELS, the NALC, the AALC, and the list goes on. One church. And it all started in the garden, right? When our first parents listened to a different word, the word of the serpent, and all of a sudden, Cain and Abel were at each other's necks, brother against brother. And ever since, humanity is bent on either dividing or forcing some kind of unity, denying the unity that comes from God's Word. But there's this desire, isn't it? Always to be together. I mean, just look at family reunions, right? People gathering together to be a part of each other. Yes, and we have words like the United Nations. There was once a Soviet Union. There's the United States. The Holy Roman Empire. Oh, yes, going all the way back. The list goes on all the way back to Noah. And then we read in Genesis 11, come, let us build ourselves for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth, as if to say, we want to be one. We don't want to be dispersed. But the question is at what cost? You may think the cost in human life to unite into one people or one nation, just think of the Roman Empire and the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. Really? Was it really that peaceful at the end of a sword? Always by the law? You remember the jailer at Philippi? You remember what he was going to do when the jail was opened after they had put Paul and Silas in prison? He wanted to kill himself because Rome made him bear the responsibility of him taking on the punishment if any of the prisoners escaped. At the point of a sword. But Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. You see, worldly peace is not God's peace, is it? It is a peace without God's word. It is unity not based on God's word. And the real cost of resolving human division is the cost of God's word. After Noah The Tower of Babel was built, and God said to Noah in Genesis 9, "And you will be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it." And the same he said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." The Tower of Babel was in direct contradiction to what God had intended for human beings, to fill the whole earth. So what was God supposed to do with such disobedient? We read in Genesis 11, "So the Lord God dispersed them over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and there the Lord dispersed them over the face of the whole earth." Yes. God would not allow such a unity without his word. So again, what does it mean to confess one holy Christian and apostolic church, to have one shepherd and one flock? Well, at Pentecost, we begin to see the undoing of Babel. Right? Everybody hears the message of the apostles, the message of Jesus Christ the crucified, in their own language. And we read in Acts chapter 4, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and of one soul. And no one said that any of these things belonged to him, was his own, and they had everything in common." And yet what do we find by Acts chapter 8? That the church is dispersed because of the persecution that happens in Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, all but the apostles. The church staying in one place was not God's desire either. He does not want the church to be in one place, but united in his word, no matter where you are, filling the whole earth. It was a command given to Adam and Eve and the generations after. It was a command given to Noah and the generations after. And we read in Acts chapter 1, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Because it is what unites us, is not place, but God's word. Jesus shepherds his church by his word. Jesus said, "I must bring on them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." After a long walk, or I should say, I went for a long walk after Bob had left my office. You see, Bob was a very active member, including being an elder. Often we would go out for coffee and donuts at the local Dunkin' Donuts and discuss a multitude of things: church, friends, family. He introduced his conversation in this way: "Pastor, you've convinced me that I'm not Lutheran. After I lifted the jaw from my face, I asked him why, and we continued our conversation for quite a long time. And then he calmly said, 'I guess that's it. I just wanted to let you know that I and my family will be worshiping at a different church.' And then he handed me a hymnal like this one." He left. South of the church, there was a huge field, and I started walking with a heavy heart, because I had lost a fellow brother in Christ and a friend. In our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there are over 6,000 congregations joined together in a common confession of faith. When Jesus was speaking to the Jews, they carried on the promise of the Messiah from one generation to another, for God had promised to be with them And yet, what did they do? They killed him. Within our church body, it exists in the United States, but also is in fellowship with those in Canada, those in Mexico and Brazil and throughout the world. And yet, many of you know the pains, along with me, which come from the divisions. Not only are there family members and friends who we know that aren't Christian or are doubting the faith, yet our heart yearns for them to be with us, especially to be with us in heaven, because we know that salvation is only in Jesus Christ. But our Lord has the solution. It is His Word. It is the Word based on His death and His resurrection, a real death and a real resurrection. And it all begins with Him who is the one shepherd of His church. Listen again. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold, but I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus. Jesus is that one shepherd of the church who does it first by laying his life down by the sheep and then by his voice. It was about 10 years later. Bob and I got together for dinner. Pastor, you were right. I wanted to let you know we are back at the Lutheran Church. Even though Bob was away, he was blessed with one thing, and that was he was always in the Word of the Shepherd called him back. And I gave him back his hymnal, "Welcome Back." As I shared with you, Jesus was speaking to Jews who had carried the promise, and now he's here in Jesus. God had promised to be with them, and now he is here in Jesus. It is not only in Jesus, but it is his Word that gathers us together in true unity. After the curses against the serpent, Adam and Eve, you remember? What did Adam do? He rejoiced in the promise that there was someone who would crush the serpent's head. And so he named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. Before Jesus' death and resurrection, he said he was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And yet when a Canaanite woman whose ancestors deserved to be executed or enslaved, she grabbed onto Jesus' word and said, "Even the dogs eat from her master's table." In Acts, the very people who condemned Jesus believed the word that the apostles proclaimed, for the good shepherd brings people back to his flock. You see, on one hand, it's easy to go ahead for us to be safe and to hide and never to talk to our neighbor about Jesus. On the other hand, we want to get along, feel united, and so it's easy to compromise and even ignore God's word. But that's not true peace. Again, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives." There's only true peace and unity in God's word in Jesus. How can the church be truly united and be one? Here, Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore urge you to walk in the manner worthy of calling of your calling, to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity. Did you hear that? Eager to maintain the unity. You already have it. It's in Jesus. You need to maintain it. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as we were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Did you hear all those ones? There's one body and one Spirit. One faith. This is not a warm feeling that you get in your heart or a physical attraction. It's what is believed. And it's not only what is believed, but it's what is in the Word that is to be believed. It is the voice of our Good Shepherd. It is how the Good Shepherd shepherds his flock and gathers them into one flock. For in him and through him and by him, there will be one flock and one shepherd. For he is the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.